Thank you, choir, for helping us to remember who we should be thankful to. It's a week of looking toward God for what God has done for us. For those of you who don't know, the pilgrims are the one who started this tradition. It wasn't made official until Abraham Lincoln, when he officially made a Thanksgiving Day and a holiday for our country. But it was the pilgrims who started that, who came here looking for a place where they could worship in the way that God was leading them to worship. They couldn't find it in their home country, and they went to one other country and didn't find it there, and they came here. And centered upon thanking God. You see, when we thank God for what's going on, it changes things an awful lot, because we pay close attention to the things that are happening around us when we say thank you. Today, in connection with that thank you, I want to talk to you about having confidence and living the Christian life confidently. Because this world has some weird ways of saying we should be confident about things. And it's almost as though anything goes, and whatever you believe and however you feel, you just be confident in that, and that's the way you should live. And that's not what Scripture says. Scripture has a different idea of why we can be confident. So listen to these words first from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and from having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as is the habit, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Confidence. The picture that's the backdrop today is what most likely the inside of the temple looked like. You can see there on the left the candelabra. You can see there in the center the burnt offerings that are given up, the incense offerings in this case. And over to the right, it's a little hard to tell, but over to the right there's a table with 12 loaves of bread on it. And then these curtains that you see as the backdrop are the curtains that lead into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place where the mercy seat is. Just look at that for a moment. Imagine coming to that place and looking and standing there. The place of the most holy of holies. The high priest was the only one who could enter that place, and only once a year. Once a year was the only time that they could live there, could exist and go in there. And there was quite a ritual of making sure they were clean, making sure they were dressed right, making sure they had spent time in confession about their sins so that they could live in the very presence of God as they went in there to sprinkle the mercy seat. An incredible, incredible place. Very few people had any kind of confidence of walking into that place. But I want you to notice what the writer of Hebrews says, because the writer of Hebrews says that we have confidence to enter into that place. we do. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, the holiest of all places, that place that the Israelites thought of as the place that God existed in their presence. Gosh, what worth do I have to even go there? The truth of the matter is that I have no worth to walk into the Holy of Holies. First off, the place doesn't exist anymore, not in earthly form, but in heavenly form it does now. And you see, I'm going to give you three reasons on why we can walk into that holy place where God exists. And they come right straight from the scripture on why we can have confidence to do this. You see, I do not come to worship today by my own worth, but by the worth of Jesus Christ. That's why I can be in worship service today and walk into the most high holy place, the Holy of Holies, because of the worth of Jesus Christ, not because of mine. It says we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, his body. You see, I can live my spiritual life in great confidence that I can be in God's presence because the very worth of Jesus Christ was placed upon me when I believed in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. God doesn't look at me now and say, "Oh, I see all your unworthiness." God looks at me now and says, "As I look through Jesus Christ and your belief in Jesus Christ, I see your incredible worth in the midst of the kingdom." Because that's all he can see as he looks through Jesus Christ to look at me. It's not by my worth that I can go into the Holy of Holies, but it's by the worth of Jesus Christ. The second reason that the writer of Hebrews says is that my high priest has cleansed me and made me worthy. My high priest has cleansed me and made me worthy. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and our having our bodies washed with pure water. You see, we can walk around with all the guilt we want to, but if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that guilt has been washed away. You don't have to hold on to it anymore. It has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. God has cleansed us from a guilty conscience. How many times in the midst of the day does the memories come back to you for the things that you have done wrong? I want to admit to you, it happens for me. The things that I'd done wrong 40, 50 years ago, it comes back to me. And I go, "Oh, I am so not worthy to be part of the kingdom of God, because look at all the things that I have done. And look at the things that I never hoped that I ever have to confess in front of anybody. Horrible things. And God still finds me worthy?" You see, our high priest has cleansed us. One of the things, as I talk with people about baptism, baptism doesn't save you. The act of baptism, in my belief and my understanding from Scripture, does not save you. But it is a symbolic act that happens. A symbolic act that gives us a deeper understanding of what has happened to us when we believed in Jesus Christ. You see, the old self has died, and the new self has been resurrected. The guilt has been washed away, and the new life has come. Because when I talk to people about baptism, I always find out it's already happened in their heart. It's already happened in their heart. And all they're doing is coming publicly before a community of believers and testifying to that and saying, I have believed in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I realize that the old has been put away and the new has been resurrected. That's what baptism's about. A symbolic act that displays what's already happened in somebody's heart. In front of a community, and the people make a commitment at that point in time to move forward, and you as a community make a commitment to that person, saying, I will help you, I will walk with you, I will be with you. My high priest has cleansed me and made me worthy. Am I worthy as a person? No. I've told you before, the person that I am, the person that I was, I don't think you would hire as pastor without Jesus Christ. I don't think you would have hired me as pastor. Even though I was a good person, no. Being good has nothing to do with it. You can be good all you want. That's not going to get you to heaven. That is not going to get you to heaven. You have to make a choice in Jesus Christ and accept Christ. And then what happens is by the worth of Jesus Christ and the cleansing of our high priest, Jesus Christ, we can stand in God's presence. We can walk into the Holy of Holies. A matter of fact, when Jesus died upon the cross, that curtain, probably 30, 40 feet tall, was torn from the top to the bottom. And the fabric was so thick, there's not a one of us that could have grabbed that fabric and torn it. It was torn by God to say the Holy of Holies is open to you, and you can have the confidence to walk the spiritual life that God has for you. The third point that the writer of Hebrews says, he says, I have hope that God will fulfill all the promises made to me and our community. I have hope. Now let's talk about that word hope for a minute. That's not wishful thinking. Hope, in the way that you read it in Scripture, is not wishful thinking that something's going to happen. Hope says, I know this will happen. That's what hope says. I know that this will happen. I know it. That's hope. You can't hope in something that already exists either. Did you realize that? You can't hope in something that already exists. You hope in things that are not there yet, but you know that it's going to happen. I know that God is going to fulfill the promises that God made to me. I know it. I've seen one of them fulfilled in my life in tremendous and incredible ways. As a young Christian, reading in the Bible, I found Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And for many years, I held it up to God and said, God, you promised this. I heard those words as I read those words from God, right specifically deep within my heart. And God said to me, all the years that the locusts have eaten at your life, I will redeem. And then goes on to talk about all the different kinds of locusts, which I've never studied locusts that close, so I don't know all the different kinds of locusts. Locusts are grasshoppers, by the way. The only ones I know of, they're green. You put them on a hook, and they fish love them. You see, God showed me that promise one day and said, all the years that bad has eaten at your life, Tim, I will redeem it. God's already completed that promise in my life. I have been redeemed and paid over and above and beyond the way that evil ate at my life. It's a completed promise. But there are many other promises in the Bible that I know God will complete them. Paul even writes to the Philippian church and he says, I am confident of this very thing, that God who began a good work in you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. That's a promise I still hold up to God. God, you started a work in me. You started a work in me, and I am confident by what I read in Scripture that you will finish that work. And that one day I will stand in your presence and see you face to face. What a glorious moment that will be. I envy some of my very close friends who have already gone on to be in their heavenly kingdom home because they got to see their this face of their Savior and their God face to face and lived and continue to live in God's presence. So I am positive that God will complete that work in me too. You see, I have a hope that God will fulfill all the promises, not just to me, but also to my community. Don't ever forget, we're part of a community and we exist together. And without each other, we will not make it. I can't make it without you. As much as I love being a hermit and being alone and being off by myself and not talking to folks and just having my nose pressed into a book, as much as I love that, I need you. And without you here, I will never realize all the promises of God. Because God has made promises to us as individuals, and God has made promises to us as a community. And we've got to live and trust one another. And then comes the thing that really gets me as I read this passage. Because of these three facts, the fact that I come to worship not by my worth, but by the worth of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit has cleansed me and made me worthy, that the high priest has done that, and that I have the hope that God will fulfill all the promises. Because of these facts, I can spur others on and allow them to do the same for me. I can spur others on and allow them to do the same for me. Gosh, I wish I could be a cowboy. I've wanted that all my life. I got the boots. I've had the leather vest. I got the hats. I've had the shirts. I've had the belts, and I've had the belt buckles. No, I never had one that big. But I did have some incredibly large belt buckles. But you know what? I don't think I want to be a horse. Look at what that says. Because of these facts, I can spur others. Rick, do horses like being spurred? Not really. That's what I thought. Not really. You know, in the NIV, it says here, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. In the NRSV, it says this. It says, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Wait a minute, that's what Scripture says? I should walk around provoking other people. I have permission now. Scripture says I should be provoking people. And qualifies it. I should be spurring, provoking, encouraging, inspiring, uplifting, upbuilding people to do love and good deeds. Why can I do that? Because I can be so confident that I can stand in God's presence and listen to what God says, and I can come out in the midst of the community and spur people on to do what God's asking us to do. And you can spur me too. You can provoke me. Because as a community, that's what we need to do. For those of you that got a bulletin, pull that out, please. And open it up to the order of worship. Right there below where it says welcome, look at what it says. Boldly affirmed in the bright future God has planned for us, we will seek to be inventive and resourceful while encouraging one another on a deeper spiritual journey. I wonder what that's patterned after. Comes right from the scripture that I'm preaching today. Boldly affirmed in the bright future that God has planned for us, we have a hope knowing that God is going to complete God's promises. We seek to be inventive and resourceful while encouraging one another on a deeper spiritual journey. Folks, this is what I think we should be about. This is exactly what we should be about according to the writer of Hebrews. Because of these facts, we should be encouraging and spurring one another and provoking one another and lifting one another up and building each other up. Notice it doesn't say anything about tearing folks down or talking about them in a critical way. It says something about encouraging them. It says something about building them up. It says something about finding inventive and resourceful ways. Those of you that spend a lot of time with me often ask my wife one question. Is he like this all the time? Does he bug you the way he bugs us? She's back there shaking her head. She has told Jan many times, I'm very thankful for you. Because he gets a good deal of it out here at work before he comes home. Folks, how inventive and resourceful are you being to encourage somebody else in the church? That means living outside the box. That means living outside the comfort zone. You know, the writer of Hebrews says we can be confident about these things. Are you that confident? I want you to look at this next statement. I will live confidently on the spiritual journey God has called me. I will live confidently on the spiritual journey God has called me. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to live that confidently because of what our high priest has done for us? You're worthy because of what God has done for you. You're worthy because of what God has done for you. And God sees you with the very worthiness of Jesus Christ, not by us. The high priest has cleansed you. The high priest has cleansed you and made you whole. Are you confident that God will live and work out those promises in your life? Are you confident of that? Not only for you, but for us as a community. We've joined together as a community. Are you confident of that? Can you say this statement? I will live confidently on the spiritual journey God has called me. Can you say that statement? I want us all to say it aloud. Whether you feel like you can say it at the moment or not, I want you to say it aloud so you can get used to what it sounds like when you say it. I will live confidently on the spiritual journey God has called me. I want you to get used to saying that. It is not because of who you are and your worth. It's because you're cleaned. It's because you have been made pure by the high priest Jesus Christ. It's because God is going to follow through on the promises that God made to us. That's why you can live this way. And I think that if every Christian could have the confidence that the writer of Hebrews wants us to have, that we would be so inventive and resourceful in encouraging one another that we wouldn't know what to do. It doesn't say critical. I know a lot of church folks that are really good at being critical. They can tell you everything that's wrong. They especially can tell you everything the pastor is supposed to be doing. Right? You ever met any of those folks? They know exactly what the pastor is supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be doing this, and you're supposed to be doing this, and you're supposed to preach about this, and you're supposed to teach on this, and you're supposed to go visit this person, and you should go visit, and you should. Are we being inventive and resourceful because we have this incredible confidence that we can live because of what our high priest, Jesus Christ, has done for us? Here's what I'm going to ask you to think about. Will you allow these facts to infuse you in a way to bring confidence to your spiritual walk? Will you allow these facts to infuse you in a way to bring confidence to your spiritual walk? It's like that tea bag seeping in the water. The flavor of that tea infuses the whole water. Will you allow these facts to infuse you so that you can live the spiritual life in incredible confidence? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because we realize and we understand that it's only through you. It is only through you and what you have done for us that we can be the people that you call us to be. Lord, it's easy for us to read the scripture and see some of the words of encouragement. And yet sometimes we miss living them so much because we're just not sure about how we can move forward from where we are. But the truth is that we can have the confidence to live the way you want us to live by your power, by your strength, by your inspiration. Lord, we should have no fear of walking into the Holy of Holies each and every day of our lives. And realizing that as we walk in the midst of this world, that the Holy of Holies goes with us as we meet and greet others. So we pray, Lord, that we would live the confidence that you want us to live, not in ourselves, but in the high priest that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.